Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Memorial Day weekend worship here. It's good that you could be with us here. I know that this also starts the time of year where it seems like almost every weekend brings us some special guests that have come for different reasons. Whatever's brought you into our midst, we appreciate having you with us this morning. Please worship again with us when you can. On your way out today, what you see on your way out says, okay, it is indeed time for the June calendar, but because of the events that are going on and it's just a time of year where with the things that are going on, we wanted to try to get some things doubled up. So on the backside of the June calendar, this is also our July calendar. We're not going to do this throughout the year, but at least over the summer, it does seem like if we can get a couple of months into this, it would be something that is worth doing. So, as you leave this morning, this is going to probably be the only time this year. We've got some of the collages of some of our ex-members of people that have served in the military, many of whom have gone now to everlasting life, and some of whom, you know, gave their lives in service, which is what Memorial Day weekend is all about. We've got some collages on the way back and in the back there, as I said, with 4th of July in the middle of the week this year. We probably won't be taking them out for that. But if you'd like to take a look at some of the pictures of some of the people that have served through the years, please help yourself to that. Take whatever time you'd like for that. We want to remember in our prayers for today a couple of our people that either have or will be graduating. Sarah Moyer has graduated from Florida State University, and Riley Costello, our member, is going to be graduating this coming Thursday from Wharton High School in Tampa. We also want to remember our member Harold Zoller. He was hospitalized this past week, had some surgery. He has been released from the hospital, will be continuing his recuperation, and will remain under a doctor's care for some time now. We also want to remember the family of Donna Knox. She is the niece of our member, Loretta McLaughlin, was granted everlasting life yesterday at the age of 52, just a battle that she's been fighting for a long, long time. So a number of things that we need to keep in our prayers. Our order of worship this morning is Matins. This Matins does not start with an opening hymn, and we move the greeting of the peace a little further back into the service. So we're going to take a moment of silence here to prepare our hearts for worship, and then we're going to begin on the top of page 3 in our service folders or up on the screens with the invocation and opening responses. May the Lord bless us as we have gathered together, as we remember Him for all that He has done for us. As you are able, please stand. We make our beginning and an end of the triune God who has brought us life and brings us life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. With heavy hearts we open our hearts to you, mighty and merciful Lord. God of love, hear us as we confess our sins to you, beginning with a moment of silence. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives power to become the children of God and has promised them His Holy Spirit. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Your sins are forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Redeemed, restored, ready to serve our Lord. Let's greet one another in the peace of the Lord. O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You may be seated for the service of the Word.
Today's reading from Holy Scripture are for the sixth Sunday of Easter. The first lesson taken from the 16th chapter of Acts. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, setting sail from Troas, we made a direct voyage to Samothrace, and the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city some days, and on the Sabbath day we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. And after she was baptized, and her household as well, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is the 21st chapter of Revelation, a transformed city of God with the Lamb at the center. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit of a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and at the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, transparent as glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temples, the Lord's God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring it into the glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to the forefathers by the prophets. But now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
Please.
The Holy Gospel, the good news being read in Christian churches throughout the world on this day, comes from the Gospel of St. John from the 16th chapter. Jesus speaks of peace in times of tribulation as he prepares to leave this world. Jesus said, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Proclaim his salvation from day to day. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor due his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor due his name. Alleluia, alleluia. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Give to the Lord all glory and strength. Give him the honor due his name. Alleluia, alleluia. You may be seated.
God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Because Christ has overcome the world. We're going to be focused on that theme of that final verse of our gospel this evening, as we're going to be looking at what took place in our first lesson today from the book of Acts. Friends, I like to hope that a lot of you have at one time have been able to go to a place like a botanical garden. Some place where as far as the eye can see and as far as your legs can carry you, you'll be going through and seeing all kinds of some of the most beautiful plants, flowers, or whatever it is from around the world. It almost seems like, at least in a human sense, that when it came time for the Lord to create the flowers, that on that day, it was the day that's almost like he took out a paintbrush and with just about every color you can imagine, just started creating one with this arrangement of colors. And there are so many different types utilizing any color that you can think of. And they are all beautiful. There are some you would never, ever want to go near them and touch them because they're downright dangerous. But still, they have this incredible beauty about them. It's good to see it. You know, we respond to colors in different ways. Even up here in front. Now, of course, we put up colors based on the season of the church here. But the colors are supposed to tell us something. The colors are supposed to bring some sort of a response from us. Here in our first lesson today, we have a lady that where Scripture goes to the trouble. St. Luke, inspired by the Holy Spirit, goes to the trouble of telling not only what the name of this person was, her name was Lydia, but that she was a seller of purple goods. Now, purple always has, especially if you get just that right shade, has got the look of royalty about it. Yeah, in some ways, it's almost a shame that we associate the color purple with a different kind of royalty, with a Savior who ended up having a special crown placed on his head, a crown of thorns, and celebrated life for us at the price of his own life on a cross. But still, we respond to things that God has given to us, and God, more than just giving to us the colors that are going to set up and that bring to us various reactions, and all of which are things that we just love to see, and in some ways just want to take pictures of so that we remember it. We respond to other things as well. We see here in our first lesson where Paul and Barnabas, if we want to go back a couple verses and see just where it is, apparently there were a couple places they weren't supposed to go, but all of a sudden, there's this man that says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And the Lord has got a way of making sure that he's going to have us go where he wants us to go. Now, sometimes, even as some of these things are depicted by Hollywood movies, we are reminded that some of the places that we are prompted to go are places that are not pleasant at all. Whether we understand it or not, we have been asked to step forward in a number of things as God places us into the place that he would want us to go. Now, God also does sometimes, as I mentioned a few moments ago, just have a way of putting up roadblocks to tell us where he does not want us to go. Scripture doesn't say exactly what happened here, but there were a couple, if we'd have gone back a couple of verses from our first lesson today, it talks about where it says they were prevented by the Spirit from going to a couple of other places that they wanted to go. Now, how exactly that worked, we're not told. But somehow or another, just as the message got through that Paul and Barnabas were to go to Macedonia, so it got through where they were not to go. And perhaps we have seen in our lives of different things that have happened in our lives, things that maybe we thought were our idea, things that tell us right off the bat, I need to go. This is someplace I need to be. I can't even explain to you why. Just this past week, we were spending some time in the office and being reminded that it was about a year ago that we had a member of our congregation, somebody that I think if I mention the name, most of you who are with us are going to know who that name is, and a few of you might not. And her name was Mary Oles, and we had found out that she had been involved in a serious car accident in North Carolina. And the first thing that was said is, hey, what are we going to do? And something just immediately told me that even though it was going to involve a trip and different things, that's where I needed to be. And when I saw what happened with the time that I spent with her, and I've seen in the months since, the amazing things behind the scenes that we are still discovering that she did on behalf of our congregation, here was somebody that was every bit as special as Lydia. And unfortunately, she had been involved in an accident that left her unable even to use her arms. Somebody had to hold the telephone to her ear. But as she spoke to person after person, as I ended up being that person for a day, it is almost like she had a message of faith and inspiration and strength to be able to share that was special for each person that she talked to. And that's what the Lord had for us. A message that was going to be abundantly clear. I have said these things to you that in me, and only in me, you're going to have peace. And here's why. In the world, you are going to have tribulation. There are some translations, English translations of the Bible, that would want to translate the word for just simply trouble. In the world, you will have trouble. Well, yeah, trouble is precisely that. But tribulation is something that is far worse. Tribulation reminds us that our very life, our very survival as Christians is going to be a constant struggle. We are going to struggle both body and soul with the things that are arrayed against us, with the forces of evil. But the only thing that we can take heart in is what our Savior has done. But because of what our Savior has done for us, now, not only can we graciously go wherever it is that our Savior would have us go, but He can have us do the things that we are going to need to do. Make no mistake about it. We live in a world where the goodness that needs to be shared, the ability of God's people to be able to work together to make sure that it is His will being done, seems to involve fewer and fewer people all the time. But I guess it's a reminder to us. It's a reminder to us that we can no longer stand on the sidelines. I went to a rather small high school, and I think, believe I've shared this with you before, that when you go to a high school as small as the one I went to, if you wanted to have a, you fill in the blank, whatever it might be, if you wanted to have a musical, you had better be prepared to play some role in it. We're going to need everybody if we're going to be able to have one that's going to be half decent. If you wanted a track team, even if you weren't as good as some people in the state were, you'd better go out for it, because there just aren't that many people to choose from. Well, that's kind of the state that we are in today, but the Lord is still directing us. He directs us to things that involve family. He directs us in things that involve faith. He directs us in things that involve engaging God's people that have no idea what this whole business of peace in Christ is all about. Our world is more filled with tribulation, with people who just wonder, how am I going to get through another day? And is there anybody that cares? And out there somewhere, we have people that are looking everywhere but the one place where they can find true and lasting peace. The peace that passes understanding, but the peace that goes into a heart and a life that allows us to do and be the things that God would have us be. You know, Paul was one of these people who just had no problems going wherever it was that he needed to go in a particular city, and to speak to whichever of the people that he needed to speak to. If it was mostly a group of people in the synagogue, he would share with them a message that would be perfect for in the synagogue. If he had to meet a group of women who were in the place that they were in our first lesson this morning, so be it. He had a message for them. And as you can see, Lydia responded to that message. And the first response, of course, was baptism. Was to allow herself and her entire household, we're not told who all that involved, how many ages or anything like that, but the entire household embraced what had been given to her as a precious message. Which unfortunately tells us so many things about how God is able to share His love with us, because the last thing that we see is that God is able to do the things that He shares with us. God is able to do these things in a world that is so filled with tragedy. In a world where we are reminded on this weekend of some of the kinds of things that can happen. If you got my congregational email, I shared with you a little bit about where it is that Memorial Day and the weekend came from. Now, of course, we turned the Memorial Day just into another one of these Monday holidays, so be it. It is still something where we recognize the lives that were lost, protecting and defending the freedoms that we hold so dear, trying to bring about a peace that we can live in. But even with that, it is only part of the okay, it is only part of the equation. And the rest of it has to do with, now that we have been given the ability even to come here and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, now, what are we going to do with the lack of peace that swirls around us, with the lack of peace that hits every one of us, the kinds of things that are always waiting inside of families, inside of people's health, inside of the kinds of things where sometimes through no fault of our own, sometimes through great fault of our own, we are facing things that make us wonder if we will ever again see the Lord overcoming the world for us. Sometimes, my friends, what we see is truly sad. That whenever there is a life lost, there's going to be both a tragedy behind it, but also somebody else that is tasked with a different job. A difficult job, if there ever was one. Indeed, my friends, the broken road is the road that we must walk down. It is a road that is filled with so much tribulation as we see the sadness that it leaves, the consequences that are left behind by those people, some of whom have been called to everlasting life, but some of whom are left behind to receive the horrible news. In this world, that's all there's ever going to be is tribulation. But Jesus said these things to us, that in Him and in Him alone, we're going to find peace. We're going to find peace on the days of tragedy. We're going to find peace on the days of conflict. We're going to find peace on the days of sorrow and tears, and a reminder of who it is that we remember that gave their life that we might live in God's peace. Take heart. Take heart. Your Savior, your Redeemer, Jesus Christ, has overcome the world and has done it for you. Amen. Friends, let's confess our Christian faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. It is up on the screen. Please stand. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We receive our offerings. You may be seated. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you. You, O Lord, are present with us always. Empower us to take heart in Jesus, who has overcome the world, so that we now experience the peace that Jesus promised through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Lord of the nations on earth, continue to look in mercy on them. Guide them into ways of justice, order, uprightness, and peace. Look with pity upon all who are persecuted and oppressed, all who are martyrs for the gospel. Bless your church. Make it both in this congregation and elsewhere a living fellowship of believers, ready to go where you would have us go, to do what you would have us do, and to prepare for things in both life and death. A people of living faith, hope, and peace, active in love and in every good work. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Loving Savior, Jesus Christ, as you have given us a new life, a living hope, and an inheritance, which is kept for us in heaven, be with all of those who are beset by doubts, temptations, burdened by fears and loneliness, stricken with hunger, sickness and disease, troubled by the fear of death, tempted to despair of your mercy. We pray on behalf of Harold Zoller, who had surgery this past week, on behalf of the family of Donna Knox, and also on behalf of the celebrations of life that you give, including those who have graduated, Sarah Moyer and Riley Costello, and for all of God's people, wherever they may be, we lift up our hearts now on behalf of someone that we now name before you in a private moment. Let them find joy and hope in Christ's victory over every human need, giving them the assurance of his eternal peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We conclude with the final prayer that's on the top of page 9 or up on the screen. You called Lydia to lead her household in following Jesus. As Lydia was baptized and in her joy, companions, so fill us with joy as we recall our dying and rising with Christ in baptism. Lead us, like Lydia, to use our talents and resources to further the mission of the risen Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. For those of you who are still going to be doing some traveling here this Memorial Day weekend, please be safe. For everybody else, thank you for joining us today. Go in peace and serve the Lord.